I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you're here. Thanks for choosing the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Your quest for podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained ends here. We invite you to enjoy all our shows we have on this network. And right now, let's start with Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself.
Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
I am Joshua P. Warren, and each week on this show, I'll be bringing you brand new, mind-blowing content, news, exercises, and weird experiments you can do at home, and a lot more on this edition of the show, KukulCon Part 4. Yes! This is where it finally starts getting good. This is the part when you get to actually meet KukulCon. For those of you who are new to the show and you wonder what I'm talking about here, about 15 years ago, I wrote this book called The Secret Wisdom of KukulCon, and it is subtitled Interdimensional Contact in a Holosentient Universe. And this book deals with the relationship between aliens, spirits, cryptids, ESP, and you. Yes, you. And author Nick Redfern called it, quote, a truly mind-bending road and profoundly elevating, end quote. Wow. Thank you, Nick. And so all these years, people have been saying, I wish you had an audiobook because I just love, you know, listening in the car or in the shower or whatever. Some people, they just listen to audiobooks all day while they work. And, you know, since I'm a podcast guy, people say, well, you should read this book. I don't have time in my life right now to sit down and read this whole book. But then I had a brilliant idea. What if occasionally I just read another chapter from this book here on the podcast? And therefore, however long it takes, it might be 2 years. One day I'll have read the whole book little by little.
on the podcast, and then I can just edit all those segments together, and voila, I will have my audiobook. So that's what I've been doing. I'm about to read chapter 4 of The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. And if you want to hear the book so far, I read chapter 1 in episode 107, and I read chapter 2 in episode 122, and I read chapter 3 in episode 127. And so I think this is going to be episode 143 of the show, where I'm finally getting into chapter 4. But you know what? If you just want to digest this whole thing at once, you can just go get the book. It's not very expensive. I believe you can get it on Amazon, but I'd prefer that you go to joshuapwarren.com and buy it from my Curiosity Shop. You can actually download the ebook version of it instantly and just read the whole thing as a PDF. That's the best thing to do. All right. Chapter 4 is kind of a long one, so I'm not 100% certain I'm going to make it through the whole show. I think I will, but it's time for me to, well, just get right into it, right? So here we go, my friends. Are you ready? Let's do this. The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan, Chapter 4, Kukulcan. Oh, let me, you know what? I need to mention something real quick. Again, I wrote this book 15 years ago, and sometimes when I'm rereading it, I think like, you know, I would have written this differently. And in some little ways, nothing big, but as I read this to you, I'm going to try my best not to George Lucas it too much. You know, right? That's where you go back and you take a piece of art that you created and then you revise it later on after everybody's already seen it. And, so I might make a little adjustment here and there, but anyway, just bear in mind, if you hear something that sounds a little outdated or something, it's because this is 15 years ago. All right. Now we're going to do it. Are you ready? The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. Chapter 4. Kukulcan. What you have heard about ancient history is mainly hogwash. The history you are given is based on the scientific process. The scientific process can only produce historical conclusions based on fragments that have survived thousands of years. Only a tiny percentage, probably less than 1% of the information that has been on this earth has lasted through thousands of years. Look around you. How much of what you see will be there in thousands of years? Interestingly enough, the more advanced a civilization becomes, the less permanent its features become. Just look at the profile we're given by traditional historians. Ancient people carved stuff into stone. When was the last time you carved something into stone? They evolve from stone to papyrus and then paper, each progression becoming less permanent than the last. Priceless libraries have burned to the ground time and time again, and now we hardly even use paper these days compared to 10 years ago. We type things into a digital format, as I'm doing right now, and store it on a flimsy disk or chip. You can leave that medium in the sun for a day and the information is gone forever. Therefore, you must understand that when we look back at ancient humans, we are only seeing the most primitive representations of their progress, the truly advanced aspects of their cultures left no traces. Nonetheless, we must work with what we've got. So what can we glean from those heavy stone bits that lasted? One thing is for sure, no matter where you explore on the planet, no matter what culture you investigate, they all say the same thing. We were visited by gods long ago. Ancients were so adamant about the existence of gods, not because they were stupid and ignorant, but because they were being visited. But what do I mean by gods? Well, there's no sense in making a fresh case here. Obviously, if you are an ancient person and a flying ship comes down filled with strange people who have computers, lasers, and such, you can only describe them as superior divine entities. It is modern historians in their struggle to define what ancients saw that are the ones to usually simply call them gods or spirits. But I have given you my definition of God. You can also have your own. But for the purpose of reviewing ancient history, we should not apply our terminology. Ancients had interactions with visitors from beyond. Tons of literature has been written on this. So what's new? It has long been said that, at first, natives could not see the ships of Columbus when he arrived in the New World because of perceptual blindness. That's the inability to see what is not understood. And some have used this as evidence that flying saucers carved in ancient structures could not have been imagined but reproduced from initial observation. In the discussion of ancient astronauts, much focus has been placed on the idea that the visitors arriving in these craft were residents from some other rock out there in the cosmos. They somehow advanced enough to overcome the mind-boggling distances and forces to get here. Maybe on some level, that alone is true. But there is a much, much bigger picture here. And the message those visitors tried to give us has been corroded and corrupted until we were finally ready to understand it. Until now. The ancient Maya were truly obsessed with time. You must understand this and realize it fully. The United States of America has been around over 230 years. The Mayan civilization flourished for 2,250 years. In that amount of time, with their devotion, imagine how much they were able to learn. The Mayan calendar began on the sleepy afternoon of August 11th, 3114, a mysterious date completely unrelated to their culture. Yet it ends far after their demise, on Friday, December 21st of 2012, when our solar system will align with the center of our galaxy for the first time in recorded history, the first time in 26,000 years. Stories of ancient civilizations being visited by gods abound. The Maya called their principal god, a visitor from the sky, Kukulkan. The descent of Kukulkan was so long ago, and his wisdom so protected, that we cannot know exactly who he was or precisely how he engaged the people of Earth at that time. He is remembered as a feathered serpent, an inhuman creature able to fly, who held the powers of destruction and dominance, yet expressed benevolence. Religions and cults devoted to him were widespread and common. Representations of him are preserved and celebrated in architecture across Central and South America. Okay, I'm going to pause right there. Good spot for a break, don't you think? This is one of my favorite chapters, because you're starting to see a little movie in your head about what was this thing? Who was this Kukulkan guy, you know, and what did he look like and what did he do? You're getting the real story here. Before we take this break, though, I want to remind you, you know, people, they ask me all the time how to attract more money, because that's what people need to survive. And I always say, look, I wrote my thoughts and even did a little audiobook about the secret, the key to attracting money. It's called a 5-minute money miracle secret. And I'm giving it away for free, 100% free. And if you would like to instantly receive that, here's what you got to do. Go to joshuapwarren.com, and right there on the homepage, you'll see a little spot where you can type in your email address and hit submit. And when you do that, that signs you up for my free e-newsletter, and you will receive an automated email that has a link to all kinds of goodies for you, free stuff online, including the 5-minute money miracle secret. If you haven't read this, you can get it right now. And it also includes some audio tones that you can listen to, including some versions of the Good Fortune Tone. JoshuaPWarren.com. That's me. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I will be right back.
Stay right there. There's more Joshua P. Warren coming right up. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/strangethings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/strangethings.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. Please make sure and check out my show, Shades of the Afterlife, heard right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Dr. Sky. Keep it right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. On the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, beaming into your wormhole brain from my studio in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, where every day is golden and every night is silver. You know what? I first wrote about the wormhole brain in this book. I invented that term just for this book, The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. Let's get back to it, shall we? Chapter 4. At Chichen Itza, in the modern Mexican state of Yucatan,
The El Castillo Pyramid, over 80 feet tall, is devoted to Kukulcan. The long bodies of two stone serpents run down either side of the northern staircase, and on the spring and autumn equinoxes, when the sun is directly above the equator, a shadow forms on the staircase. The shadow looks like the slender, writhing body of a snake. This event is called the Descent of the Feathered Serpent, and it draws a large celebratory crowd each year. There are many varied stories about Kukulcan. Since I was not there when he visited the people, I cannot tell you with certainty what is true and what is not about him. I cannot even say for sure that he ever existed. However, that is not important. I can't tell you with certainty that any ancient deity was here. I can't with personal first-hand knowledge tell you about Jesus or Horus or Zeus or the other 350-some major gods that one culture or another worshipped, but here's what I can do. I can take them all from different people with different languages spread across this massive planet and tell you the gist of what most of them said. Because in a way, majority of the gods apparently ultimately said the same thing. Hence a singular message that has been passed along by all these unrelated cultures. The only gauge by which we can determine some truth, similar to a policeman separating numerous eyewitnesses to a crime and taking them into different rooms and questioning them to see if they all come up with the same story. The message of the gods, the message of Kukulcan, is one that must be looked at from two perspectives. First, we must see it from the time it was given, from the angle of ancient humans, and then now, with our perspective, looking back after all these years with all of our technology. So why do I single out Kukulcan? Well, it's for a personal reason that I will explain later. But for now, here is what the ancient gods were trying to tell us. Here is what happened. There has never been a beginning, and there will never be an end. We humans, with our need to move from point to point, chapter to chapter, are preoccupied with our physical births and deaths, and we therefore model everything in between on the concept of start and finish, pacing hour by hour, day by day, week by week, year by year, decade by decade, generation by generation. But that is the product of self-centered, egocentric thinking. Because we are so obsessed with the idea of start and finish, we insist on the idea that there was a beginning to this universe and there will be an end. But this is not true. This has always been and will always be. You need not comprehend that. You must overcome the falsehood that humans are capable of grasping everything. Humans are not. Like all beings, humans are capable of understanding exactly what they need at this time and nothing more. You are an infinite part of an infinite world, a great circle, and that is why the measurement of a circle, pi, gives us an infinite number. The matter in the universe cycles through periods of collision and explosion, like billiard balls bouncing around on a massive table. The infinite table, the horizon of space, never changes. It is a constant medium of swirling energy. In fact, there are tables stacked upon tables, pocket holes connecting them here and there. On our table, long ago, bits of matter congealed into the chunks of rock we call planets. Earth is not the only planet harboring life. All things are alive. Anything that moves is alive. But Earth is special in our neighborhood. It's all Goldilocks indeed. Not too hot, not too cold. Just right for some wild stuff to happen, at least for now. Why is that so hard to believe? What's so wonderful about all this anyway? It's really chaos, don't you think? It's far less peaceful than those other planets just sitting quietly, still, silent, mature. There are many out there like it, but this planet is the freak in the neighborhood. Things begin to grow here. They began to grow here because the conditions were just right. You can dig all day in the dirt. But how often do you pluck out a ruby? How many grains of sand must you toss aside before you find that one anomaly? Imagine each grain of sand is a star or planet, and each ruby is an Earth. It's hard to find them, but they're out there because the conditions were just right, and we pay attention to them. The dimensions wobble, going through cycles like everything else, the physical and non-physical change over time. And what's physical to you or me today may not be physical to you or me tomorrow. Again, remember that physicality is completely relative. One thing is physical to another if both of them resonate within the same frequency range. If they don't, they pass through each other like radio waves through your hand. Sometimes there's a bit of friction, though, like microwaves through a potato, and so the potato heats up and bakes. If you became a radio wave, suddenly, radio waves would become physical to you, and you could not pass through them. You would be surrounded by huge walls, the radio signals being broadcast from stations all around the Earth. A few thousand years ago, the universe wobbled a bit, and our frequency level increased. Suddenly, our planet popped up on the radar of other dimensions. It did not take long before the visitors arrived. From where did they come? And what do they look like? Well, this is a common question. We know that time is a flexible thing. A clock in your basement runs slower than a clock in your attic. Presumably, since the Earth's gravitational field, stronger near the crust, slows time. Time and space are connected. Therefore, space is flexible. Bearing this in mind, the question, where are they from, is relative. Where they are from depends on where you are. They may as well be from exactly where you stand, occupying the exact same space you occupy at this moment. Or maybe they are not. It doesn't really matter that much in the long run. They were advanced enough to know how to get here, and that means they were advanced enough to understand how to manipulate matter and energy in whatever way into whatever form was necessary for their purposes. In this regard, they could not only come here, but also choose their appearance. They found us hunched, walking on two legs with two arms. They appeared to us in a variety of ways, usually with two arms and two legs like us. There are some notable exceptions, such as the burning bush. Do we call them aliens? Interdimensionals? Gods? I prefer to call them paratemporals. Temporality is the way in which you perceive the passing of time, hence the way in and rate at which you process information. Your temporal self is the space-time with which you are occupied right now. However, these beings operate outside of that realm. Therefore, they are paratemporal. Ghosts, ETs, and most cryptids all fit within this definition, since time and space is always warped when they appear. Ghosts are usually a manifestation of the past, thus the distortion of time. When flying saucers appear, people experience missing time. In other cases, a car will stop when a UFO is overhead, but when the craft zips away, the car begins running again without the ignition being turned once more. This seems to indicate a pause in time, though the human continues to perceive all the while, to be explained later. And in many cases, a cryptid like Bigfoot is tracked until the footprints just vanish mid-trail. The creature has obviously either dematerialized or been raptured away into the heavens. Either way, it's a manipulation of space which entails a warp of time. And the common denominator between most of the entities and phenomena we consider paranormal is their ability to operate beyond your present temporal perception. Paratemporal, that word, is a nice, convenient, broad, accurate term for them when referenced in relation to us. Okay. Good place to pause. And I think this is going to time out just about right. I think it's going to work. Hey, before we hit this break, you know what? I'm recording this in July, August, September, October. They are the busiest months for my ghost tours. The Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour in North Carolina, the Haunted Boulder City Ghost and UFO Tour in Boulder City, Nevada. A lot of them sell out, so don't wait till the last minute. Buy a ticket now. Go to hauntedasheville.com if you're in North Carolina, or go to hauntedbouldercity.com if you're here near Las Vegas. I created them. I produce them. I run them. I own them. So you know you're going to get top-notch quality. Just go look at the TripAdvisor reviews. People on TripAdvisor are brutal. And when you have five-star reviews like we have, that tells you something. All right, I am Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I will be back after these important messages.
My name is Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com. Over 5 years ago, George Norrie approached me with a unique concept, a dating site for people searching for someone with interests in UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and the paranormal. From that, ParanormalDate.com was born. It's a unique site for unique people, and it's free to join to look around. If you want to upgrade and enjoy more of our great features, use promo code George for a great discount. So check it out. You got nothing to lose. ParanormalDate.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Make sure and check out all our shows on the iHeartRadio app or by going to iHeartRadio.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
thought they were going to kill me. So I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. And with the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault, where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. Head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
To Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm reading Chapter 4 from my book, The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan, Aliens, Spirits, Cryptids, ESP, and You, talking about interdimensional contact in a holosentient universe. Written about 15 years ago, back around 2008. When they came a few thousand years ago, these advanced paratemporal entities saw some great value in our crude lives, and they battled over it with the same political fervor we engage in today. What did they want from us? Well, they wanted a number of things. Why do we humans fight and try to conquer other lands? When a child asks you, why did we go to Vietnam? What is your answer? The quest to take property and dominate others can be explained in many ways, depending on the point of view. But there are always many reasons. One of the things paratemporals wanted was gold. Beyond mere bartering, the basis of true human currency was exchange of gold. But why have we always considered it so valuable? Of all of the substances in our realm, the paratemporals especially wanted the gold. It could be because gold is an excellent electrical conductor that resists corrosion, essential for some of their vehicles and machines. Or it could have been for protection, even today. Our astronauts use gold linings in helmets and suits to guard against harmful infrared waves. Gold is also so good at reflecting infrared and radio waves that we also use coatings of it on some satellites orbiting in space. Plus, gold is so malleable that a single ounce can be beaten into a sheet of 300 square feet. Thin enough to be translucent, and yet it remains intact. No traditional historian knows exactly why people have always valued gold so much, and usually says, well, mainly because it's pretty. But there was something much more. Humans evolved in Africa, where we have found the earliest human remains, and the first wave of paratemporals that wanted gold encountered humans there, around Babylonia, the cradle of civilization. In his book, Rule by Secrecy, Jim Mars explores the agenda of the paratemporals. The particular sect he writes about is the Anunnaki, first explored in depth by Zechariah Sitchin. Regarding the question of why the Anunnaki may have wanted gold, Mars saw fit to quote another author, Lloyd Pye, who wrote in his book, Everything You Know Is Wrong, the Anunnaki sought gold to save their atmosphere, which had apparently sprung leaks similar to those we have created in ours by damaging the Earth's ozone layer. The Anunnaki solution was to disperse extremely tiny flakes of gold into their upper atmosphere to patch holes. Modern scientists contend that if we are ever forced to repair our own damaged ozone layer, tiny particulates of gold shot into the upper atmosphere would be the best way to go about it, end quote. Regardless of exactly why the paratemporals wanted to use humans as slaves to mine and shape gold, they did, apparently, and in the same way our modern scientists play with chimeras and genes, making glow-in-the-dark monkeys or putting an ear on a mouse's back, the visitors played with our genes. The ultimate goal was to make a hybrid of ancient man and themselves. They wanted a primate with enough strength to work the earth and enough intelligence to properly handle the complex processes of purifying gold. Hunched, hairy humans changed into something more advanced, made more in the image of the paratemporals, skipping natural stages of evolution by leaps and bounds. Quote, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, end quote. From the Bible's book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. The modern human served a great purpose for the paratemporals. We were very effective slaves, and to our dominated ancestors, the visitors were truly gods. When the Spaniards invaded the New World in the 1500s, natives believed the Spanish were immortal. In Puerto Rico, a Taino Indian chief and some followers drowned a Spaniard and watched the corpse for 3 days to see if it would spring back to life. If the sight of an armored, bearded white man from a seafaring ship made such an impression hundreds of years ago, can you imagine how our early modern humans viewed these paratemporals? The visitors were very well aware of how to herd creatures like humans. They picked certain people as liaisons, individuals with whom they would communicate directly. And those people, perhaps like Moses or Muhammad, would relay messages to larger groups and have been heralded as prophets and leaders. Because the gods were associated with gold, idols of gold were often made by cults of humans, and the people were torn over time as competing divisions of paratemporals battled with each other over the resources of Earth. Each paratemporal considered himself God, and his competition the devil. As always, self-interest, the need to be worshipped and obeyed, was paramount to each one of the visitors. There were some rogue paratemporals who adopted lives with the humans, even interbreeding with them directly. Many Bible scholars might think of those who assimilated into human culture and tampered with our genes as the Nephilim. They were considered beings of low caliber by their peers. Most of the paratemporals deemed that behavior unnatural and unbecoming. They condemned it, or at very least did not condone it. It was during this time that Kukulcan walked among the ancient Maya. He was solid and physical, as much as you and I are here today, and yet he was strikingly different. Kukulcan was most likely one of the Nephilim, human-like, yet composed of different and bizarre energies. He was impressive, majestic, and primordial. Kukulcan was able to fly in some way, move himself through our air and space, gliding smoothly, and so he is figuratively remembered with wings. But he possessed one characteristic that is paramount. He bore shiny, scaly skin like a serpent. Human appearance varies in many ways. Some are tall, some are short, etc. In saying that Kukulcan looked like a serpent, we don't have to mean he was literally a big snake, but that he resembled a serpent in the same way you might compare a human body type to a particular animal. However, we don't have humans that look serpentine, so he was surely from a different strain of biology, one from elsewhere. Apparently, snakes were the earthly creatures that most resembled this unearthly physiology. The serpent has always represented mystery and knowledge, and in some ways this knowledge is considered good, in others evil. The most famous example of this is the defining moment in the Holy Bible when Eve first meets Satan's influence in the Garden of Eden. He is manifest as a serpent, yet not a snake as we know it, since God later punishes the serpent by turning him into the current slithering form. The reptilian satanic force persuades Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge, and the serpent tells her, quote, "Then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil," end quote. That's from Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Now, this alone establishes the biblical and Christian tradition as one that values ignorance. Knowledge, that thing we so cherish in the modern age, is considered fundamentally evil. The God of the Bible wants us to be ignorant, like pets. Other cultures have considered knowledge good, and thus the reptilian Kukulkan was revered for the wisdom he gave the Maya. In May of 2009, I visited the ancient ruins at La Manai in Belize. My expedition arrived in the country by ship. We took a long, bumpy ride into the shabby countryside via bus. Next, we sped nearly 30 miles down a dark and twisting river, famous for its crocodiles and monkeys. Eventually, the ruins began to peak from the thick, lush jungle. La Manai was the most secluded Mayan site and thrived longer than any of the others because of this. It was exhilarating to perch atop towering pyramids, once waterfalls of blood and sacrifice, and turn around completely, breathing in an ancient vista. The jungle teemed with life and hid tunnels that honeycombed beneath centuries of mud and vines. The ground we walked upon was once rooftop level, the canopy of enormous leaves leaning over us like tired old arms. Our guide, a Mayan named Carlos, said of the thousands of ruins in Belize, only a handful had been excavated. In the middle of the site was an ancient ball court. This was perhaps the most sacred place to the ancient Mayans. Unlike today, the ball court was not simply a place for sport, but the grounds upon which sacrifices were determined. Okay. Got a break now. When we come back, I think I'm going to finish this chapter up, and I might even have a little bit of extra time to tell you something else that's super interesting. I'm not sure what it is yet, but I will find something super interesting. Hope you're enjoying this reading of Chapter 4 from The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. And remember, you can just get the whole book instantly as a PDF at joshuapwarren.com. Okie doke, that's my name. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I will be right back.
Did you know that tests that could save your life from cancer are now available for little or no cost thanks to the healthcare law called the Affordable Care Act? Let this be the year you get screening tests that can detect cancer early when it's most treatable. Don't let concerns get in the way. Talk to a doctor or other medical professional to learn more about the best cancer testing options for you.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey folks, it's easier than ever to become a Coast to Coast AM insider and have access to past shows, the Art Bell Vault with classic audio and interviews, and so much more. And you can listen to the show live or on demand with your computer or cell phone, and the audio streams are high quality and crystal clear. It's easy to become an insider. Just head on over to coasttocoastam.com, the website, and you'll find all the info right there. That's coasttocoastam.com, coasttocoastam.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ufologist Kevin Randall, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Segment of this edition of Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and I'm about to finish up Chapter 4 from my book, The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan, that was written, well, I think I started writing it in 2008 and then I finished it in 2009. And of course, I was talking about the ball court. The Mayans, they considered the ball court to be a very sacred place. And it was kind of the center of all of their action there in these old villages. The games played in this narrow alley between two stone walls would produce winners and losers who would die, live, or be mutilated based on the outcome. A heavy 10-pound ball of pure rubber would be heaved around by men using their hips and midsections, no hands and arms allowed, until someone finally kicked it through a stone ring extending from the alley wall. It was so difficult that just one score would end the game. And given the sacrificial element, its importance was immense, and the entire affair was done in honor of a visitation long ago. The visitation of beings like Kukulcan. Though much of the detail is lost, the games were dedicated to the paratemporals who had come. There were various stories about that era, One of them speaks of twin Mayan brothers who were spirited away into the sky to eventually become the sun and the moon. And given the importance of this spot and its connection to the gods, I was stunned when I learned what sat at its very center, something I had never before heard. Right in the middle of the court at La Manai, an obvious obstacle for those men feverishly playing the game, was a circular stone, perhaps the size of a hula hoop. It was about 1 foot thick. All in all, it looked like a large ancient wheel, but it was not. This was actually a capstone. In the 1980s, archaeologists lifted it and found it sealed an ancient time capsule. Within were a few clay containers. The centerpiece was a cylinder filled with 131 grams of liquid mercury. To this day, archaeologists are not sure where the ancient Maya obtained liquid mercury, nor why it was given such a place of prominence. The best speculation was that it had somehow been refined from cinnabar deposits in Guatemala and brought over. In fact, containers of cinnabar, jade, and obsidian were found in the chamber as well. Modern Maya know stories of ancient shaman who would gain sinister power by placing a drop of mercury in their veins. And if lucky enough to survive death by poisoning, the shaman came close to the nether realm, absorbing its dark magic. This may be true, yet the placement of the liquid mercury immediately struck a deeper chord with me. The German Nazis spent much time in Central and South America in the 1930s and 40s, even constructing secret compounds in South America. Teams of scientists studied weird ancient knowledge, reinterpreting it in the language of modern physics. The Nazis clearly believed ancient cultures incorporated, or were at least exposed to, super advanced technology, but lacked the understanding to properly document the forces at work. For a while, the German tech may have been so advanced because they took metaphysical archaeology seriously and recreated elements they discovered at lost sites. Records of exactly what the Nazis found are scarce, but some of their most secret compounds were in Mayan territory. Many fine researchers of obscure Nazi war plans like Joseph P. Farrell and Jim Mars have found records of the single weapon most coveted by the Germans. It was called Die Glocke, or the Bell. This was a metal case, 9 feet wide and 12 to 15 feet high, roughly shaped like a bell, that housed two counter-rotating cylinders filled with a substance similar to liquid mercury. When the cylinders spun, time and space around the device were warped, and the entire machine actually lost weight, floating into the air. The Nazis were working on an anti-gravity device that also produced deadly radiation. The military potential was truly unlimited. It is interesting to note that the Mayan calendar, such a mantle of debate, is not a stationary stone engraved with symbols. It is a dynamic machine and consists of two counter-rotating disks, with a smaller third disk included as well. Together, these three disks function like cogged wheels of clockwork, aligning three symbols that can be interpreted in various ways. We'll dig into the calendar more later, but note the potential connection here between the Mayan focus on liquid mercury and counter-rotating machinery and the Nazis' use of a liquid mercury-type substance and a counter-rotating device as their possible ultimate weapon, or Wunderwaffe. The Nazis supposedly achieved anti-gravity in a bell-shaped, saucer-like metal craft. The Maya placed their liquid mercury in the center of a site that revered extraterrestrial/interdimensional visitation. It seems quite plausible that the Nazis learned much from the ancient Maya about how the paratemporal craft functioned. As I investigated deeper, I found strange deposits of liquid mercury had also been discovered at other notable sites of mystery, like the pyramids in Egypt and China. The ancient Vedic literature of India speaks in great details of Vimana, strange ET flying machines powered by engines of whirling mercury. all the pieces had fallen into place. Boom! How did that... Isn't that great? That just timed out just right. There was Chapter 4 of The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. Hope you enjoyed it. Okay, now I told you I was going to tell you something else super cool. Well, I guess it's... Well, you know, it starts off with a sad... On a sad note, recently, of course, everybody was talking about the men who died on the submersible that was going down to the wreck of the Titanic. And there were lots of graphics and illustrations about the layers of the ocean. And I thought it was really interesting to read about what they call the abyssal zone. And the word abyss comes from a Greek word that means bottomless. And the abyssal zone is about 13,000 to 20,000 feet down in the ocean, or 4,000 to 6,000 meters. And this zone remains in perpetual darkness. Listen to this. It covers 83% of the total area of the ocean and 60% of Earth's surface. There are, again, there's no light. So due to there being no light, there are no plants producing oxygen, which instead primarily comes from ice that had melted long ago from the polar regions. And then you have all, you know, this weird life down there. So I bring this up because if you consider, like, you think you know what this Earth is, right? But if you consider that 83% of the total area of the ocean and 60% of the Earth's surface is this area, which is primarily unexplored, we really don't know what's right here on our own planet. And, you know, recently, earlier this year, the latest incarnation of the Pentagon's UFO or UAP task force, I can't keep up with the acronyms anymore, they came out and they did a press conference and they gave a map that showed all of the sightings, the credible sightings that they could not explain of these UFOs / UAP. And most of them, by far, were clustered around the coastlines of the United States. And I think that is kind of the case for, you know, the whole world. And I did it, you know, a show a while back where I said, look, I don't think that we have to jump to the conclusion that all of these beings are flying around in outer space. I think it's very likely that, or certainly more likely that a lot of them are right here on Earth, but they're under the ocean. We have video footage of them going in and out of the ocean, just like my Puerto Rican OUFO footage, which you can also find at joshuapwarren.com if you go and click the Gallery of the Strange, or you can just go to YouTube and type in my name and OUFO. So think about that perspective on what Earth really is like. All right. Hope you've enjoyed this show. Now it is time for us to all try to meditate for at least a little bit, okay? Take a deep breath. If you can, close your eyes, and we're all going to listen together to something to make your life better. Here is the actual good fortune tone. That's it for this edition of the show. Follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren. Plus, visit joshuapwarren.com to sign up for my free e-newsletter to receive a free instant gift, and check out the cool stuff in the Curiosity Shop, all at joshuapwarren.com. I have a fun one lined up for you next time, I promise. So please tell all your friends to subscribe to this show, and to always remember the golden rule. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon. You've been listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Well, if you like this episode of Strange Things, wait till you hear the next one. Thank you for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.